You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Allegedly, one of these New York Yankees fans, I think the prime DB, Austin Capobianco, claimed that he had not been told that he wasn't allowed to attend Game 5 tonight. So the MLB has now stepped in and instructed the Yankees to bar them from the game. These are the two tools who grabbed Mookie Betts. Well, one grabbed his wrist, the other pried the ball out of his glove, and it fell onto the field. And they're upset because Mookie Betts used curse words at them.
Aww. Oh, my God.
Like they weren't cursing at Mookie Betts in that moment?
Wait a minute.
So sensitive.
I don't buy for 1 minute they did not know that they were banned from tonight's game because
it's all over the news.
All over the news that not just the teams, but Major League Baseball stepped in and said, you ain't coming back.
By the way, they're banned for their tickets. There's nothing stopping them from purchasing.
No, it says here, bar them from the game. MLB has instructed the Yankees to bar the two fans who interfered with Mookie Betts from Game 5.
Okay.
So go away, nerds.
Be on the lookout.
You know they're going to try. Who
Look
was
for
that?
Some fake mustaches.
That's exactly right. Who was that manager years ago who got ejected and then he showed up in the dugout with a fake mustache on? Who was that?
Well, that one's a little more obvious because there's only so many people in the dugout. But I'm telling you, these guys could easily sneak by.
They couldn't. And here's why, Sam. Any fan of the Dodgers will see them and immediately call for security.
Like, there aren't any. This is in New York.
But they are everywhere. His photo and his ding-a-ling friend's photo or brother's photo, it's everywhere.
See, we're calling this guy a DB. I think among New York Yankees fans, this guy's a hero.
It was Nets manager Bobby Valentine 25 years ago. Look at him sitting in the dugout.
Bobby the Mustache Valentine.
With his fake mustache on. I'm going to watch this game if it kills me.
Sir, what's your name? Not Bobby Valentine.
I'm Bobby's brother, Billy. Billy Valentine. Just got hired.
Reminds me of that SNL skit. Knock, knock. Who's there? Candy Graham.
Oh, that's a good fake mustache, though.
It really
Props
is.
To him.
It's come back. That's the thing that men are wearing above the upper lip right now. It's disgusting.
That is Tom Selleck-esque.
Ugh.
I like my mustache.
Okay.
But Sam, yours does not. Yours does not look like his. Like the full-on...
Yeah, you have a peach fuzz mustache.
He does. I'm All sorry. Right. And it, you know what? It no. fits your face, no. Sam. It fits your face. I'm saying you wear that well, but that's not what we're talking about with Bobby Valentine in the dugout.
I think your mustache is coming along nicely.
Sam, I'm a fan of you. I'm not a fan of your mustache. And I'm just being honest. And I love you.
I do feel like that trend has run its course and it's time to stop
Sarah's
doing that.
Sarah's boyfriend Dawson has one. Has had one for years.
Well, mm-hmm. I donned a mustache as a joke so that you guys would make fun of me when I showed up to work. And you guys made so much fun of me that I decided to keep it
You're
for
keep
over
it.
A year.
So he's doubling there. Down. So, yeah. there.
Take that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Bring it.
I'm going to wear the mustache that you hate as a vengeance against you? That doesn't make a
Have
lot of sense.
Have you ever had one, Scott?
Not without a beard. Well, no, as a joke, me and Brenniger and a guy named Scott Bohannon grew one for graduation from high school.
Okay.
To see who could grow the fullest mustache before we graduated.
Ooh, we could have a competition amongst the four of us.
No, let's... Oh, my gosh! Oh, my... Daniel Weinbaum!
I wasn't even going to jump in on that.
I just put my hand down. I just put my head down as soon as I realized what he had said.
Scott, are you growing your mullet out?
I just got a haircut last night.
First of all, that dig is so good, I'm not even mad. I swear to you, I was at dinner last night, and I'm not going to say which of my daughters, because there's really three, because Jack's partner was with us. We were all having a
Girlfriend.
Lovely dinner. We were all having a lovely dinner.
Jack's gay?
And one of them started doing this. I'm not going to say which one. And she goes, God, I've got to get a wax. That chin hair is driving me crazy.
Oh,
and I go,
my God.
Yes, it's familial.
Oh, my God. What have you done to that girl?
Well, I think it's familial, Scott.
You're not related.
She's not biologically yours.
I didn't say it was that one. I was just saying I'm not going to say which one it was. I'm not going to out the offending chin hair.
The bearded daughter?
No.
I mean, look, we're all human.
Oh my gosh.
Hair.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Now, I would have a full beard, but my other job doesn't let me do it.
Huh.
I need to update a story that we started the program with that made no sense to me. We talked a lot about the stolen tablets were worth, according to, was it Channel 5 we read that story from?
Over $100,000.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Okay. What's the update?
Yeah, it's important because remember I said to you, none of this makes sense. There's a reason why. Someone added a zero. I reached out to the Clay County prosecutor during the break, and I said, can you help us understand why KCI would be involved in an investigation involving tablets, which makes no sense to me? Are we talking a chisel? Are we talking hundreds of years ago? Are we talking an iPad? Like, what is this? It doesn't make sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just got the probable cause. Can I please just update our listeners? Because it will make much more sense when you hear this. In fact, the Kansas City International Police did contact authorities after figuring out that there were stolen electronic items between these certain dates at 1013 Mexico City Avenue, which, by the way, is in Platte County. Okay? Mm-hmm. During their investigation, confidential sources identified the now charged 28-year-old as being involved in the selling of the stolen items. So they put together a task force, Scott. Clay County, KCI, at one point Lenexa's involved, I don't know why, and they all swoop in to Scotty's house, that is what he is called, where they say they find one missing and presumed stolen Amazon Fire tablet. Okay? Turns out he allegedly tried to sell that thing online for $40. Now, you might be asking, how do we get from $40 to hundreds of thousands of stolen items involving KCI? It appears Channel 5 added a zero. The total value of the 10 electronic items that they found on this person, 7 Amazon Fire tablets, 3 Amazon doorbell cameras, and some meth. The entire value is $969.90.
I'm glad we blew two segments on $969 stolen goods.
It said hundreds of thousands of dollars, and I thought, my God, what did they take from Amazon? I think they meant hundreds of dollars. Okay. The more you know. Sometimes it helps to just pull the PC.
Editing is fundamental.
Everything makes a lot more sense when it's a dude with some meth and 6 tablets.
Or maybe don't hire journalists right out of college.
Right. I'm just saying. It's $900.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars is a lot of meth.
Involving 4 agencies.
None of that makes sense. Why would you get 4 agencies involved for less than $1,000 of stolen goods?
Maybe he only had $900 worth of stolen crap on his possession, and somehow there is a dark underground ring operating.
All right.
Where the Amazon Fire tablet is.
I'm done with this story.
Apparently a very high dollar item.
I'm totally done with this story.
Well,
were they $46,000 each?
The CBS News, the Air Force overpaid for soap dispensers. You remember hearing about the $500 hammers back in the day
ago,
and $1,000 toilet seats? The Air Force overpaid for soap dispensers used in the bathrooms of C-17 military aircraft by 8,000%.
Wait.
That one's not a typo. It actually is 8,000%.
Soap dispensers
used
in a crapper?
In a restroom.
In an aircraft?
Right. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, C-17 is...
It's a cargo plane.
It's a cargo plane, yeah.
So we're not talking a PJ fancy private bathroom with all the bells and whistles.
No, we're talking about...
on board.
Squat
latrine.
And do what you got to do.
Basically, the fuselage is mostly empty, and they just load it with military equipment that needs to go somewhere. Well, somewhere in that plane, there's a bathroom in case one of the pilots needs to go to the restroom.
Okay.
Well, they have soap dispensers in there for cleanliness.
Of course.
And sanitation.
Right. Gotta wash your hands.
Absolutely. Employees must wash their hands before returning to work. they paid 80 times the price of a similar available dispenser. The dispensers were one of about a dozen spare parts for which Boeing overcharged the Air Force, according to the report. There's Boeing again.
By $1 million.
Yep. Yep.
Was this malfeasance, perhaps? Now,
listen to this, Dan. They reviewed 46 ignorance. Spare parts. And I think this was a random review. Let's pick 46 things, like an audit. Let's pick 46 things and just see what we come up with. Only 9 of the 46 were purchased at, quote, fair and reasonable market value.
It's called fleecing the government. And they allow you to do it all the time because it's easy to write a check with other people's money.
And you wonder where our tax dollars go.
No, well, I don't.
While the cost that Boeing charged per dispenser was redacted, we're going to need you to do this math. While the cost that Boeing charged per dispenser was redacted from the audit, in total, the Air Force overpaid for the dispensers by $149,072.
That's going to cut into their fancy food.
Say, how many C-17s exist in the Air Force fleet? If they outfitted every single C-17 that the United States operates, they were probably
these would have been newer ones.
Hundreds or thousands of dollars per soap dispenser.
Correct.
And by the way, they do look like the kind that sit there on Velcro, and you push down, little foam comes out. Mm-hmm. That's what these look like.
Oh, this is a run-of-the-mill 99-cent store purchase.
Like every airplane bathroom that you've ever seen.
Sophisticated technology.
913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks.
Two things, and then we're moving on because I'm laughing because we can't stop doing math. It's funny, but not funny. It's your money, so it's not funny. It's absurd funny. So, Sam, the Air Force overpaid for those stupid little soap dispensers by $149,000. We found this during a break. The Air Force only has 220 C-17s in operation.
But they all didn't get a soap dispenser from Boeing.
Okay, but let's be generous and let's say they did.
Well, the story says they only bought a dozen from Boeing.
But they overpaid by $149,000. That makes it worse.
Well, they said it was well over $1 million. But they didn't retrofit every bathroom
But what I'm saying is that makes
17.
It worse, because if you take $149,000 divided by 12,
would be $12,416.
That's $12,000 a soap dispenser, Scott.
And I bet you the actual value of that is about, maybe $20. Oh, so they overpaid.
If you bought it at Target.
$12,400.
And then it gets worse. Wait a minute. Boeing has issued a statement. There are just certain times you should not issue statements, and this is one of them.
Yeah, I'd let this one go.
Boeing said in a statement it was reviewing the report, but cautioned that it appeared to compare prices for the parts that meet aircraft standards to basic commercial items that would not meet the qualifications for military aircraft.
There isn't a difference. It pumps.
We are reviewing the report, which appears to be based on an inept comparison of the prices paid that meet aircraft standards versus basic commercial items that would not be qualified for use on the C-17.
There is a spring, a nozzle, a tube, and a canister. It is the same as the one on your kitchen counter.
These are the special C-17 soap dispensers, Sam.
When did they get into the soap dispenser business, or did they not?
They went and bought these. No, they can't make a door that stays on. I don't think I want them making my soap dispensers either.
They probably went to the grocery store, bought 12 of them for $5 a piece at $60, and then started putting them in the planes.
Okay, file this also.
What if it said Palm Olive on the side?
Probably did. Or Bed and Body Works, or whatever it is.
Gentle on the hands, Sam. When one is doing
tough on grease.
Mm-hmm. All right. File this also under how the hell does this happen? And God bless this woman. But we found this during the break. And Sam, oh my gosh. Oh man. A cause of death has been released for a Wells Fargo employee who was found dead at her desk 4 days after she clocked into work.
What's happening?
We're going to need to go ahead and move you downstairs into storage B.
No,
we have some new people coming in, and we need all the space we can get.
But there's no space.
So if you could just go ahead and pack up your stuff.
Right, that'd be great. God bless her. 60 years old. It turns out it was a heart attack. But again, really, the part that I want to draw your attention to is how awful is the place where you work that you are dead for 4 days at your desk and no one notices.
Wouldn't there be an odor at that point?
She clocked in August 16th at 7 a.m. August 16th, 7 a.m. 4 days later on August 20, police responded to reports about a, quote, person down and found her dead.
Is this a financial advisor's branch, a bank branch?
This was Cubicle Land.
What was the date?
She clocked in August 16th. Police were summoned August 20th.
Something around a holiday.
Something tells me that her coworkers are remote.
Mm.
Because there's no way that you walk past... What's her name?
I didn't want to name her.
There's no way you walk past her desk...
Milton. Her name was Denise.
Every day for 4 days, and don't wonder to yourself, why is she still in that position?
And it's a cubicle, because my first thought was maybe she was in an office and her office door was shut. No. She was out in Cubicleville.
Well, there are some cubicle areas around here where at the time, if somebody had passed, I don't think anybody would know for days. There was a time in the promotions wing where we only had one person down there because everybody else had moved out.
I'll tell you this. If I was the only person in a department not working remote, no way would I do that. I would be creeped out to be the only person. Like if there wasn't...
On your wing?
If there wasn't a you and there wasn't a sandwich. For this very reason. Or what if I'm eating lunch and I choke on my sandwich?
That was me during the pandemic. Just me and Rob, baby.
No, that's true. McDonald's was sued by consumers in a proposed class action lawsuit stemming from the E. coli outbreak linked to onions in the fast food chain's Quarter Pounders. Of course, because it's America. Why wouldn't you sue? Amanda McCray of Chicago and William Kraft of Davie, Florida, said they experienced many symptoms associated with E. coli infection.
Could you describe the symptoms, Scott?
Yeah, it's called poop that won't stop. What did you
make? Looking like a
shame. Okay. my God.
Was there a McFlurry joke in there somewhere?
Well, yes. She said what went in looking like a burger came out looking like a shake.
Oh, man. Okay. Why didn't we just say that one on the air originally?
Because she leaves me to say her dirty work, no pun intended.
Now, if, you know, we had one death. It was one death.
Yeah, and I'm not mocking that. And I'm not making fun of that.
And I would fully anticipate that man's family bringing a lawsuit.
Yeah, but if you got a little diarrhea, let it go. I mean, how many times have you been to a restaurant and you think you got food poisoning or something there? You wake up the next morning, stomach's in knots, you can't stop going to the bathroom.
Yeah.
I mean, I would never in a million years think about suing the restaurant.
But in our litigious society, if there is reason to sue, they're going to do it.
I have said from day one they are going after the deep pockets of McDonald's, and I understand that. Entity at fault.
Taylor Farms has some deep pockets.
Is the farm where there had been multiple, I don't want to say violations.
It was a tainted water supply.
Well, but this is not the first time they've been in hot water over.
Their water.
Bad water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These kind of stories just drive me insane because
How's McDonald's supposed to know? When it comes off the
They're
truck
not,
and it comes, you know what I'm
not,
saying?
Not when the testing systems are supposed to be on the supplier's end. Not on the receiver's end.
Now, the argument in the lawsuit could be this company has had, you know, X number of issues, and you decided to continue purchasing products from them.
Well, it's not just McDonald's. Did you see the list of corporations
Taco Bell, Chipotle, a lot.
Burger King was on that list.
I think Wendy's
Walmart was on that list.
By the way, speaking of, not Walmart, but a major local, relatively local, regional chain is getting rid of self-checkout.
We'll do it at
5 o'clock. A very well-known grocery store chain in this area is getting rid of self-checkout.
Good.
913-586-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ.
I'm Azana. I live in Columbus, Ohio. When we vote, we send a message that we will be heard. And with so much at stake, our fundamental right to vote is on the line. We can't afford to miss this chance. Vote by November 5th.
Paid for by the Ohio Democratic Party. www.ohiodems.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
I know how enthralled you are in the Menendez brothers saga. This just cleared from ABC News. LA District Attorney George Gascon is supporting the Menendez brothers' new effort to petition California Governor Gavin Newsom for clemency, which would reduce their sentence or grant a pardon.
Is that the faster path to getting them out?
I would think so, yeah. Sure. Before having to wait before the parole board. And the governor can do it without having to do a parole hearing or any hearing for that matter.
Couple of quick updates. The entire metro is now on a tornado watch.
Thank you.
That is the keep an eye out, not the batten down the hatches. Tornado watch, the entire metro.
And then what the heck's going on at 435 and 35?
So that would be the 435 and I-35 in Clay Como and Pleasant Valley on the northeast side of the metro. It is shut down. They are letting very few vehicles by on the right side shoulder, but there is a pretty massive wreck underneath an overpass right there.
Is it northbound or southbound?
It would be northbound that is closed.
And yes. Channel 9 was just reporting we just got a glimpse of it before they moved away from Johnny Rollins, that there were actually four separate wrecks. I think the main wreck under the bridge might have been the first, and then you have probably people driving by to try and take a look, and then you know what happens in rush hour in Kansas
City.
I can see multiple
wrecks in the backup.
Multiple wrecks.
At 48th Street.
If you are in it right now, you know it.
Yes, those cars are not moving.
Okay.
There's also a bunch of cars trying to get on the on-ramp who probably regret their decision.
Yep.
And so close to getting out.
2 minutes ago from Nick Bender over at Channel 9, the most likely time now for severe weather is going to be after sunset or between 7 p.m. and midnight, though there is at least some potential of a severe storm a couple of hours prior to that time frame. For Kansas City, the line of severe thunderstorms is expected to sweep from west to east across the metro between 8 and 11. That is the latest weather-wise.
Story from the New York Post. It is almost time to turn the clocks back as daylight saving time ends at 2 a.m. Sunday morning. While we technically regain an hour of sleep this weekend, it can be challenging to feel bright-eyed and bushy-tailed when waking up to darkness. The end of DST disrupts your circadian rhythm,
yes,
which dictates sleep patterns and encourages tucking in when the sky is dim and rising and shining when it's daylight. Mm. Experts say being awake before sunrise is not good for your mental or physical health. A sleep deficit caused by the time change can affect thinking, decision-making, and productivity. In fact, 2 in 5 Americans will experience daylight-saving scaries. That's what they call it. Daylight-saving scaries.
Yes, the Sunday scaries.
When preparing to change the clocks this week, and with good reason, there is an increase in heart disease and stroke during the daylight saving time change, and doctors are not exactly sure why.
Yet we keep doing it.
While turning the clocks back does not tend to be as rough on our bodies as springing forward, the end of DST can still result in lower energy, overeating, and seasonal affective disorder. And they have 6 ways to adjust more easily.
Get sleep.
Get right with the light. They say when you wake up in the dark, expose yourself to a light source as soon as possible. Number 2, get moving. I don't need to explain that. Number 3, get outside. Adjust your sleep schedule and limit blue light, Dana Wright. That's your phone.
Mm-hmm.
Eat dinner in the early bird window. What the hell is that? Oh, between 5 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Go to First Cafeteria and load up.
No, Scott, you're set. Don't worry about that.
I'm good. I'm good to go, man. I hit that window even though I get off at 6. And take a walk before sunset if you can. And then wonder why we keep doing this every single year, even though most people don't want to. Congress could do it.
Tries me
and
crazy.
They did it back in the 70s, and I was telling you guys at the end of the show last night, and I'll look this up during the next break or something. There is a reason they don't do it. They tried it in the 70s, and for whatever reason, it did not work, and they switched back. It was during the Nixon administration, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, didn't they see a bunch of economic downturns that they didn't expect?
There was something. You keep talking, and I'll look it up.
Okay. I'm currently reading about who they may have given the tickets to, who they ripped from D-Bag 1 and D-Bag 2.
Whoever could pay for them.
According to a statement from Yankees to reporters, a pediatric cancer patient and his family will be able to use the two seats down the right field line.
Oh my gosh, that makes me happy. Good.
That's very nice.
To just go completely squirrel on you, what were we talking about?
I don't know. That just makes me so happy. I don't even care that you just did that.
It was a feel-good story I was trying to get confirmation of to bring to you.
By the way, the U.S. tried year-round daylight saving time in the 1970s, but it was quickly reversed due to its unpopularity.
Unpopularity?
That's what it says. It says it was unpopular.
Just spring forward and leave it there.
Here's a story from 2 years ago from CNN, but I'm looking for the 1970s reasoning here. By the way, it is split in the Congress as to whether we should do it or not. The origins of the idea are up for debate, but in a 1784 letter.
It's farming.
To the editor of the Journal of Paris, thanks a lot, Benjamin Franklin, suggested that Parisians could save money by getting up earlier during the summer.
Oh, good God.
Because they would then have to light fewer candles in the evening.
Such a great president.
He was a good president.
They would have to light fewer candles in the evening. My God, and we're still doing it.
Just keep moving forward, boys.
Okay, that's good.
Do you think Thomas Jefferson was a better president than Benjamin Franklin?
I'm not taking totally. That bait. I'm not
totally.
Taking it. I'm not. I heard it. I understood it. I let it waft out there. And I'm not taking the bait.
Let it breathe.
No,
like
I'm not.
A good wine.
No, I'm not. I do know he was the creator of our Farmer's Almanac, Benjamin. Sweet Benjamin Franklin.
Okay. 913-586.
What about Edison?
Oh, he was good. 586-7798. What are you laughing about in there, Daniel?
Well, one of the people that tried to push daylight saving time back in the late 1800s was, I believe he was either the British or a New Zealand golfer. He wanted more time.
Oh, that's phenomenal.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Dan, how long were you trying to talk in there? Sorry.
Tam was just waiting.
I was just
to
giving
impart
a
that
whole
piece. You know, I love it.
On how DST started around 1916 because the Germans and coal and energy and then the Allies followed suit.
Well,
but we do suit. So many things still.
That's where it came from.
In America, just because we've always done it that way. I've said that about the 40-hour work week. Who picked 40?
The unions.
Why not 32?
Because the unions wanted an 8-hour work day, 5 days a week, with 2 days off.
But most people will tell you get more done working four tenths.
Well, but companies were forcing their employees to work 70 hours a week at the time. It was actually a let's scale things back so people can live their life.
And back then it was less white collar work.
Right.
It was much more blue collar, manual factory work.
By the way, a state could. You don't have to rely on Congress. A state. And
oh, God. Isn't it Indiana that has four different time zones?
No, they have two, but all states but two, Hawaii and Arizona, observe daylight saving time. The U.S. territories of American Samoa, Guam, Puerto Rico, the Virgin Islands, and the Northern Mariana Islands also do not change their clocks. The state of Kansas could change and get rid of
it would be a nightmare.
It would be a nightmare because Missouri shares its two largest cities with states on the other side. Literally,
can you imagine being around the state line and you're late for a meeting on the left side and early for the meeting on the right side?
Missouri would have to take the lead, and then Illinois and or Kansas could follow suit.
I'd never get anywhere. I would never get anywhere on time ever again.
913-586-7798. 586-7798. Let's go to we're aware that Benjamin Franklin was not a president. It was a joke, y'all. Jeez.
The number of people that wrote that in on the text line, guys, I'm worried about you.
Welcome to this program.
We were being very sarcastic and just goofing on each other. Brett in Belton. Hello, Brett.
Hey, how you doing, Scott?
We're doing well, my friend. Thank you for asking.
I was curious about this. Daylight savings time, it's like, why can't we put that on a ballot, you know, and vote on it?
I don't believe that the state of Kansas has petition initiatives. You could in Missouri, I think.
Right. Well, I mean, I'm about 2 miles from Kansas. I'm way south of Belton here. But by the way, I love you guys' show.
Well, thanks.
Thank you.
First time caller, and really enjoy it. But the thing is, I mean, you know, most of the farm equipment nowadays is operated by GPS. It pretty much runs itself.
And they have these things called lights.
Right.
Right.
So, Brett, do appreciate the call, man. Thank you for it. Don't be a stranger. Matt in North Kansas City. Hello, Matt.
Hey, guys. You know, you have to realize, I mean, you know this, of course, there's shrinking daylight, of course, just because we're going into December. But here's the thing, the unintended consequence. If we didn't change back, I'm in the ag business, but I'm more on the cattle side of things, not crop stuff.
Okay.
But, I mean, like right now, I mean, we can't get out to start feeding until at least 7:15 and not 7:30. If we didn't change the time back, it wouldn't get light until 8:30 or so of a morning. I mean, it's one of those things that's like, think about what you're proposing here of keeping one thing. So just that's just a consequence that you would have.
But Matt, being in the ag business, you work around the sun. What it says on the clock doesn't matter.
Yeah, but the world still works on things like, you know, certain things happen certain times of the day, you know, markets open or whatever. I mean,
yeah.
Everybody else is still working on normal kind of hours. Yeah, we can work with the sun, but there's other things going on as well that we have to go around.
Then let's fall back and leave it there.
That's fine, but then you're going to have the other side of it too. I mean, there has been some instances around the world. I mean, I remember reading an article somewhere. I'm going to get it wrong, but you'll get the idea. Is that some guy was down in Southern Hemisphere and he was on the beach at 4 o'clock in the morning in bright sunlight
at 4 a.m.
Yeah. So, I mean, just think about that first. I'm not proposing one thing or the other. I'm just saying there's a consequence to not changing.
Okay. By the way, much That's of awesome. Europe and North America, as well as parts of South America and Australia, change their clocks. However, many countries in Africa and Asia, and especially those situated around the equator, do not change the time.
Just the way that I look at it, if you're worried about what time you're going to tell your employees to show up, specifically in the ag business, or if you're a farmer, 30 minutes before sunrise.
Michael in Kingsville. Michael, hello.
I wouldn't know what that meant.
Hi, guys. How are we doing? Love your show.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's yours.
So always remember someone, I don't know if this is really much with what's going on in your conversation, but always remember there's somebody that has it worse than you. I lived in Fairbanks, Alaska for 4 years. We got up, it was dark. You could watch the sun come up, crest, and go back down in 2 hours, and it was dark again. Mm-hmm. So there's always somebody that's got it worse than you, that even with daylight savings time.
That is true, which is why I would never live in Alaska. My mother lived there, Michael. Scott,
I lived there.
I
lived in Anchorage for 3 years.
I think so, the
Oh, you lived in Anchorage?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was where it's mild. That was no problem. He lived in Fairbanks.
I know where Fairbanks is. Let me tell you, if you think that we didn't see the sun come up until noon and it went back down at 3, we did. That sun did not come up very much. But you're right. Fairbanks is like 4 hours to the north. It's much worse, if not farther. Quick break for the news. Dan Weinbaum has that coming up in 2 minutes. Sam Stevie III, Dana Wright, My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
What's that sound? That's the sound of Downy Unstoppable scent beads going into your washing machine and giving your clothes freshness that lasts all day long. There it is again. It's like music to your ears, or more like music to your nose. That freshness is irresistible. Let's get a Downy Unstoppable bottle shake. And now a sniff solo. Nice. With Downy Unstoppable, you just toss, wash, wow, for all day freshness.